You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Pedram Shojai back to the show. Pedram is an acclaimed Qigong master, herbalist, and talented acupuncturist. He comes from an unbroken line of masters and is an ordained master of Taoist alchemy. He teaches philosophy, meditation, Qigong, and healing techniques to audiences worldwide. His new book is just out, and it's called Rise and Shine, Awaken Your Energy Body with Taoist Alchemy and Qigong. He's also featured in a 3D Qigong series from Jay Widener's Spiritual Cinema series, and both of those are available on his website at www.taoistpath.com, and we'll repeat that again at the end of the show. So let's welcome Pedram back to the show now and find out what we can find out. Hi, Pedram. How are you?
Hi. It's good to be back, Lance.
Oh, good, good. You're so fun to talk to. You're just so sharp.
Oh, thanks. Never a dull moment talking about these fun things. Yeah.
Boy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. You know, we have a good time.
Well, you know, I was surprised to read you have had such an amazing journey. I mean, it just it's typical of the, you know, the seeker and the finder. Obviously, you found the masters that you needed to find, but it's so full of stories and the search and the journey. And for instance, you sprinkle your book with fascinating stories, and they're all different and interesting. And the one that I liked, one of the ones I liked, was the one about the bus and the chicken. I know you remember which one that is, right?
How could I forget?
Yes. Well, I won't ask you to repeat that on the air tonight, but people will have to get your book to find out what we're talking about.
Cool. Yeah, you know what I tried to do is I tried to really keep the human level and the fun factor in there, because, you know, it's really one thing to read about the philosophy. It's another thing to go through all the rigorous training and energy work and yoga and all the things that we do to try to improve our lot and wake ourselves up in life. But, you know, where the rubber hits the road is life itself, and life becomes the workshop.
Yeah.
And so these anecdotes and these stories that I kind of wove through the book were to really illustrate how this is a fellow human, you know, going through these experiences.
Right, right. And you did that quite masterfully, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
And as we both know, many people can be meditating all their lives and still be asleep.
Mm.
It's not as quite as likely because there's an intent there to awaken, but people can go through a lot of different avenues, the New Age and various other traditional avenues to awaken and follow this guru in that, and can remain still mired in illusion. However, it seems that the big problem today is that the whole planet is kind of stuck on stupid.
Amen to that.
Yes, and you bring out many of the things that help to keep us stuck in our illusions, and also ways to bring up the shadow and work through those. Just to give us a general snapshot of what do you feel is happening energetically on the planet as we speak?
You know, there's a lot of zombies walking around, and what's happening is we have gone so long And we've come so far from our origins, if you will, having an intimate relationship with nature, walking around, moving our bodies a lot, and really keeping the flow of our energy fields vital and vibrant. And what's happening, and what I'm seeing, especially in city folk, is their energy fields are starting to collapse to a degree where there's just not enough consciousness available to them to become even aware of these trance-like mindsets that they're in, and so people are sleepwalking, and it's a big challenge. I mean, you mentioned people, you know, who meditate. I know lots of people who have dedicated meditation practices, who just basically sit there and you know, put in their hour and get up. And yes, there's some benefit, but one of the things that I really try to emphasize is that meditation is something that is not, say, an application on your desktop computer that you open up and you close, but it should actually be part of your operating system, right?
Yeah.
It's that mindfulness. It's that staying awake and staying aware of what's happening in being in the living, breathing, present moment. And that's a practice that it's just as easy to do as learning how to meditate and sit there for an hour. But I think meditation has been sold or at least represented in the wrong way in the West. And so, you know, people will put in their meditation just like they'll take their vitamin B pills. And that's not necessarily the way it's supposed to work.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
The goal really is to wake up, right? And so the meditation becomes a tool, and it becomes a practice that we use to assess where we're at and whether or not we're running off of subconscious trances and pre-programmed tendencies, or whether we're actually in the moment and inspired and feeling alive and vibrant and awake and fully engaged. And, you know, that is not really the state of most of humanity. I mean, yeah, sure, we have our moments. We have, you know, the kids' big football game. We have, you know, the birthdays and the weddings and these kind of flashes that we remember and we feel alive in. But the dreary times in the middle, which is most of our lives, you know, a lot of people are just sleepwalking through. And frankly, it just doesn't have to be that way. There are ways to wake up, and it's not that you have to dedicate your entire life to move up into a monastery, shave your head, and change your, you know, and renounce your family and all these things that people kind of have these preconceived notions about. It's about changing your operating system and waking up to who you are and how you integrate in this workshop we call life.
Well, as you said, part of the condition seems to be the major imbalance that we see all over, and the detachment from all living things, such as nature, for one thing. You're able to tap into the subtle fields and the elementals, and I imagine that you're able to communicate with the devas and the subtle forms of spirit, which are all around us. What is your sense of that? What is your sense of the planet's state of awareness and intent at this point, if you had to say?
Well, I would have to say that one of the major problems is the bubble, the sphere, the life engendering sphere that we all lived in for thousands of years was within this framework of the energy of life that's all around us, we call nature. And so, you know, in the past couple hundred years, we've paved it, we've, you know, chopped it away, we've weed whacked it, and we've created chemicals to render a lot of these seeds inert, and, you know, all the things that we see that are challenges in our modern world. And so what's happened is with the natural field somewhat collapsing around us and not giving us the kind of the framework of life energy to dwell in, people really don't have access to other higher sources or other forms of energy that will keep them in check. I mean, sure, you have a spiritual practice, and some people, you know, have very religious and are praying and are tapping into these source energy fields which sustain them, and you know, and they're doing okay, right? But what's happening is, you know, with the religious establishment somewhat falling apart, you know, and a lot of, you know, I like to always say it's not God's fault. You know, it's, these guys have really kind of ruined it for the word God,
right?
And so,
right.
So you know, the organizations out there and the people and the child molesting priests and all the yucky stuff that we hear about have drawn people away from the religious structure that was there and the infrastructure, so to speak, that was provided in the natural world. We've separated from more and more, so we have really disconnected from a couple major sources of our inspiration or our rejuvenation or recreation. And so people are not tapped into these sources of energy and their food sources and their sleep habits and their exercise habits, and all of these different lifestyle parameters are all kind of out of whack. And what happens is we're not generating the vitality from inside, we're not tapping into the sources from within, and so the system just starts to flicker, right? So the energy body starts to diminish, and as that happens, we lose sight of who we are, our purpose, our divine origins, and our you know, our essentially pure spirit and essential selves. And as we start to fall asleep to that and forget, then all bets are off. You know, what else are you going to do on a Saturday night but go to a monster truck rally? And you know, it's just then it becomes about a life of distractions, and it becomes a meaningless life of you know, basically going from one thing to the other, trying to find some sort of pleasure.
Yeah. And of course, as we both know, we each have an element of the shadow, many that have unprocessed shadows and that are stuffed so deep that it comes out in very strange and perverse ways. And then we also have a collective shadow, and that collective shadow seems to be taking the form of a rather imperious matrix of control that it seems to be taking the form of stepping in for our lack of choice, if you want to say it that way.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, well, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and there are so many people that have been brainwashed into thinking that they are less than what they are. You know, you give your power away. You know, the world's a scary place. I need, you know, the army and the police to protect me. I don't know how to grow food, so I rely on some agribusiness to provide that for me. I don't know how to survive in nature, so I have to, you know, have all these tools. And so what happens is the further and further we get into these abstract realms of not knowing who we are, knowing our origins, and falling into that, then there's all kinds of leverage. And sure, there are forces out there that are doing pretty well on this planet and are, you know, directing the politics and the energies and the resources so that there can be a master race and a slave race, if you will. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. The only thing, you know, the only thing that that's predicated on is that the slaves stay asleep.
Right.
So wake up, you know, wake up and the gig is up. And it's that simple and it's that easy. So I don't, you know, I've been around the block. You know, I'm not the oldest guy around, and I'm definitely not, you know, young anymore in that sense. So, you know, I've heard a lot of this conspiracy theory stuff and been friends with a lot of people that are very active in that world.
Right.
And there's a real tendency for people to start just getting angry and shaking their fist at the man and all this kind of stuff. And that's exactly the energy that binds us.
Yes, it's a binding energy.
It's a binding energy. So
it's almost like ritual magic.
That's it. I would go one step further and say it is exactly that. It's a spell, and as soon as you fall into that, you are just feeding your energy into the machine. So there's all these levels of sophistication kind of built into it to entrap your energy more and more. And so the more you wake up to it, the more you feed into it as well. So the only real way out is to wake up to who you are and become a light body, to become that essentially self-realized person that is basically not in any of those games, right? And then it all becomes about local community, and it becomes about, you know, basically the humanity and the elements that we've lost out on, right? This whole globalization and separation from our environment has created this, you know, I say this all the time. I went to college with guys who didn't realize that food grew out of the ground. I mean, they kind of understood it, but you know, food comes in a box. It's wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
That's a very dangerous tendency.
Very.
Right.
Dangerous.
So, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way because, you know, I was, to illustrate the point, I just went at the end of last year, I've been involved in a couple documentary films that I've been making, and one of them, which should come out sometime next year, these things take forever, but it was about, it's called Origins, and it's about us finding out who we are and our spiritual origins and how to, you know, live off the land again. And myself and a couple of the guys in the film, as part of this process, did this wilderness survival course in Africa in big game country with lions and elephants and buffalo and the whole nine. And, you know, within 6 weeks, actually it was only a four-week course. I was there for 6 weeks. But within 28 days, I went from intentionally not cracking a book and knowing anything about that environment to being able to name the birds and know how to survive and know what to eat and what you can't eat and how to avoid getting killed and all of it, right? And so it doesn't take that long to figure it out. We're smart. But it does take a dedication to wanting to learn it, and it takes wanting to wake up to it, right? When you become aware of the natural environment, then you care about preserving it. But if you're just wrapped up in your iPhone and your BlackBerry and wondering what the score is of the game, then nothing really matters.
Yes, and as you know, the mind, we start to think that we are our mind, and then the mind is capable of justifying anything, and we dismiss everything that is good because we're too lazy and too frightened and too much in denial to see the truth because we postponed it for so long.
That's it. It's, you know, it's if people don't see parallels between that and our economy and the way we run our financial system, it's almost scary. We're borrowing from our future to get through today. And what happens is, you know, there will be a reckoning, and the reckoning is something that, you know, happens on all levels, but people are so afraid of that reckoning that they just bury their heads in pharmaceuticals and distractions and all these types of things, which just make it worse. And so, the only way out is in, and the only way in is to really start to examine these energies and these thoughts and these patterns within ourselves.
You mentioned on, I think it's on page 49 because I highlighted it, and this is something that I really like and I tell people all the time. You said that the truth is that each of us has likes and wants things that make us happy. The problem is that many of us have strayed from here and are stuck doing jobs that we don't like and stuck in a life situation that is not allowing us the time, space, energy, or money to follow through with those dreams. And I think you really nailed it, because we end up settling for the people that we're in relationships with and for our lifestyle and for our careers. And all of that stuff is just programmed BS designed to keep us in a rat's maze or a wheel spinning and paying taxes and buying things. So, you know, this is really, there are so many pitfalls of allurement and ensnarement that can happen to take our consciousness and eat our soul. I think you are probably a master at recognizing these things, huh?
It's a challenge because it's this old joke that we used to see, like a little workshop sheet. There's a wish list for workshops I'd like to see, and one of them said, you know, dealing with post self realization depression.
Because I love it.
Because
once
you start seeing it for what it is, at first it's kind of ugly.
Yes. And
you say, wow, you know, I didn't realize how far gone. Either I'm crazy or everyone else is crazy.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, and usually what happens is I don't really have the self-worth or the ego strength to think that, you know, one of those is, you know, right, and it's got to be me, right? So, you know, maybe I'm just seeing the world in the wrong way. But,
right.
You know, frankly, it's when you start waking up at first, and only at first, really, it's a lonely place.
Yeah.
Because you start to realize that a lot of the relationships that you've had and you've kind of kept in your life are very codependent and vampirical, if you will. You know, there's a lot of subtle vampirism, and we're not talking about sucking blood. We're talking about sucking energy.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
and that happens in the subtle realms. I mean, there are dark magicians that are capable of, you know, following people in the streets in the cities, and they can literally tap into your life energy and suck it right out.
Sure.
So even on the most simplistic level, and then if you want to take that to a higher level, there, you know, you can know that there are slightly higher dimensional entities that are capable of living off of our negativity and our hatred and our worship as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that's food on another level. Everything is food for something else.
There's a Castaneda who said, and I know there's a lot of controversy about Castaneda, but I've always liked his books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a predatory universe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way. I mean, you know, and I kind of talk about this in the book for a little while, is, you know, what I call the horizontal axis of this kind of human realm of, you know, dog eat dog, and I need to get mine, and, you know, you give me a compliment, and I'll, you know, tolerate your idiosyncratic ways, and all these types of things that all these kind of subtle arrangements we have with each other, right?
Right?
And that predatory universe comes from, you know, very simple interactions of junior high children all the way up to this transdimensional dark, you know, dark force stuff that is,
right,
is very much alive and well. And if people only knew, they would be so scared of reality that, you know, the horror flicks couldn't even come close. So,
oh, absolutely.
So there's a lot of crap out there, and what happens is it starts to so you have these sort of dark lords kind of orchestrating from top down and really going after people's energy and overtly doing it, and then it goes all the way down to this, you know, these interactions you'll see, you know, in children that are, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, and the way they kind of ride each other, and the way they kind of you know, gain power from each other, and all sorts of these, you know, interpersonal dynamics that they get from their parents, who got from their work, who got from their culture, and it kicks all the way down. So what needs to happen in a fundamental shift to the way we operate, all of it, really, in my opinion, is as people start waking up and what I refer to as, you know, kind of tapping into that vertical realm, you know, lining up their chakras and opening up the energy flow and opening up themselves to the flow of that eternal life-giving light that is always emanating and always moving through us and is the source of who we truly are, then all of that dark, shadowy crap starts to fall away. The shadow energies can only feed off of our unconscious realms.
Right.
And so consciousness, by definition, shines the light of consciousness.
Yeah.
Through and basically clears out all these cobwebs.
Yeah.
So you know, there's really no point in drawing our swords and kind of differentiating who the worst bad guy is and all this
right.
kind of stuff.
Right.
And the orientation, and again, that's from my perspective. I mean, there's you know, many ways to skin a cat here, but from my perspective, the quickest, easiest, and most effective and efficient way to do it is to bring that light and wake up your own consciousness and activate your own light body, and then that vampirical energy just can't touch you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. Like you said, blaming and getting really too in-depth with all these conspiracies is like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic.
That's it.
And it becomes a big distraction. So, and then people argue about, you know, which chair is the right chair and so on and so forth. And
that's it. And it's just like religion in a way.
Yes.
I can't remember if it was Tim Leary or Terrence McKenna, but one of them said, you know, hey, give me one free miracle and I could explain anything. And he was referring to religion. Right? Just give me one free miracle and I explain everything. And you know, I've come to the conclusion that conspiracy theory is the same way. Because no matter what happens, you could either prove or disprove it because, you know, well, it's obviously because they want you to think that. And so you could just run around these semantic circles for eons wondering what's true and what's not true. And you know, I'm not saying that there's no conspiracies out there. I mean, I think you'd be a fool to think that the way
right.
things are is, you know, the picture painted is actually what's going on.
Right.
But the problem I've seen in these circles of people I've hung out with for years who are really up on this stuff is they tend to pick up a lot of these darker memes or mental viruses by being caught up in all this. And it's just you have no choice but to start getting angry and seeing the world as a dark, scary place. And you know, and I don't know if Obama was genetically engineered from the mummy of Tutankhamun. I don't know if that even matters to me. Right? I mean, this is
right.
It starts to get so abstract and so crazy that I can't prove whether it's right or wrong. So
right.
what I'm going to do is work on what's important in my life, which is waking up and spreading the light.
Right.
And the light of awareness, you know, in my circle and as much as I can. You know, that's why I went from being, you know, a physician and, you know, being able to help 10, 15, 20 people a day to saying, this ain't moving fast enough. That's why I got into writing books and making DVDs and movies because it's about, no one can do it for you. And that's the problem. That's the false promise in the West.
Yep.
We have this Messiah thing. We got this Savior thing. We're hoping someone will just fix all of our problems, right? We're hoping that we can run up a bunch of debt and then the government comes and wipes it out. And that's just not the way it works. That's
they
the
can
false
do that
problem.
For the government can do that for themselves.
Well,
we're
right.
the ones that end up wiping it out.
Well, that's it. And we end up paying
pay the bill.
It. Yeah, and through real labor, real time, real energy, real power.
Right.
And so that's just, you know, that's also, you know, it's just another false system on top of another false system. The only thing that's real is the real question of who are you? Where do you come from? You know, what is the source of life? And those are the real questions because the answers to those questions are found within.
Yeah.
And when you find those answers and when you basically get into that inquiry, there really is no answer. There's just question after question after question that puts you on the right track.
Yeah.
And once you're on that track, then you're riding the light.
Yes.
And you're good. You're in a safe, happy place.
Absolutely. One of the things I like about your book is that you do a lot of writing about the light body and how to work on accumulating and contacting with, you know, communicating with and enhancing the light body, which is already within us. And many different disciplines use the element of taking prana from the air, and but everything is light, and you know we're more than just our bodies and our minds and our emotions, and we are vast, eternal and infinite beings of light. So it makes sense that to bring light into the body, we're increasing the consciousness and our ability to be with that which we were born to be.
That's exactly it. It's, you know, just as much as we can sit there and say, you know, the government's doing this and, you know, there's dark forces doing all these other things, there are light sources and there are white masters that have released information and disseminated these incredible alchemical transformational arts that if all we did was to practice them, we would bring more light into our system and wake up. So it really becomes, you know, especially in this era of the Kali Yuga, where, you know, there's so much literature about how this Iron Age is going to be set up, and it all really becomes about personal choice. This information is available. And what we have to do is simply access it and practice it and choose it as part of what we do and part of our operating system, and things start turning around. So it's that simple, and you know, yes, this light body information has been around for thousands of years. The Tibetans had it, the Hindus had it, the Chinese had it. I mean, it's the Incas had it, and so there's all of these traditions that I kind of draw from, and it's not, you know, there's no way to adequately represent any of those traditions in one single book, because there's thousands of people over thousands of years who've dedicated their entire lives to the study of this, and these aren't stupid people.
Right,
and so, you know, there's enormous schools of thought that have really dedicated many years and many traditions to just this understanding of our light body and who we are and how we activate it and how we can use prana or consciousness or sound or toning, and, you know, a plethora of different ways to really bring this light into our system. And more importantly, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, when I started teaching Qigong in Southern California, I'd get a lot of these individuals that came, that would come in and say, yes, Qigong, I need more energy. And my answer to that, you know, I humored it for years because I thought, you know, they'd come around and they'd kind of eventually, you know, wake up, and some of them did. But, you know, now my frontline answer to that is, if you want more energy, drink coffee, right? If you want to borrow energy from tomorrow to get through your crazy today, drink coffee, you know, just go ahead and cheat. There's drugs for that. But if you want to wake up and activate your light flow and to really step into the game of awakening and enlightenment, then let's talk about Qigong. Then let's talk about transformation. You know, people are using all of these things. You know, I talk about this with my yoga friends all the time. You know, people need their yoga pill. They need their yoga fix. I'm so stressed out, I got to go to a yoga class. Right? And yeah, sure, I'll take that over Prozac, right?
Right.
That's not that, you know, the goal of yoga isn't there to be another Band-Aid in your crazy life. It's there to teach you how to live your life so that you live a balanced, healthy, light-filled life.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of New Age people and spiritual people throughout the ages have talked about the luminous body. And, you know, in the Bible and various other texts, they talk about the, you know, the aura around the halo or the golden light. And do you feel that they're referring to the divine light that is accumulated within a person who is able to work on themselves to that extent? I mean, you've had masters who have taught you, and what are some of the things that you've seen from them that you have proven for yourself are possible?
That's a great question, because a lot of the information that people are running off of in these spiritual communities, a lot of them are running on faith. You read these stories and you say, "Wow, that sounds incredible." You know, the guy flew 13 stories and threw an energy ball at a demon, and you know, it sounds like Superman, right? So
right.
These traditions have their myth and their lore and all these types of things. And so where the rubber really hits the road is your personal experience of this. And what I can say to that is, I've been fortunate enough to witness some amazing things, but I've been more fortunate in that my primary teacher had been very adamant about not getting me excited about the fireworks, so that I can continually do my own practice and wake up to what's really important, and experience this thing called the light body, experience this thing called the energy field, which, you know, to answer the first part of your question, absolutely. The real issue with this energy work isn't about accumulating more light and accumulating more energy. That's not how things work. Light and energy are moving through us, through every cell, every atom of our body at all times. Mm-hmm. So what really gets in our way is us, right? So a lot of the basis of this energy work isn't, you know, this accumulation game, like this capitalistic kind of view of how people are seeing Qigong and yoga and these things. It's like, what can I acquire out of it?
Right, right.
But it's about getting the heck out of your own way, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And really allowing the impedance or the blockage of this energy flow to become resolved and waking up to who you are more and more. And the more you open yourself up to the enormity of who you are, and the more you start to get out of your own way, and the more your self-image starts to kind of coincide with who you truly are, then the more light and awareness is moving through your field, and the brighter and brighter you become. So it's a letting go process. It's about unwinding into who you really are, and stop trying to emanate this person who you think you ought to be for society and for your parents and your wife and your all of it, right? We're all just a bunch of fakers.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That sounds like a lot is about removing the unnecessary and the false, and allowing what's more real and authentic to emerge.
Yeah, amen to that. Real and authentic is something that I find is oftentimes missing from the spiritual community. There's so much, I was just at this green thing in Los Angeles where, right, there's all these people that are, saving the world and are so smug about it. It's just, because you eat organic doesn't mean you're awake. Just because you are involved in, a couple causes doesn't mean that you can go about being arrogant about who you are in life.
Right.
And so there's all these little partial awakenings that people have to, one or two little facets of what might be good for you. And then then their identity and their ego just latches onto that.
Yeah.
And then it's just the same thing, different flavor.
Exactly. Yeah, look at me. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm changing the world. I'm
that's it. I'm organic. I'm a Buddhist.
Exactly.
I'm a Kabbalist. My God's better than yours. Stay on your side of the fence. It's just it's all nonsense.
Need. Oh my God. You're a lost soul. You're just so unconscious.
That's it. And so that reductionist way of looking at reality in the world is all based on our own kind of defense mechanisms and our own shadow crap that we haven't analyzed and really gotten into.
Right, absolutely. And then, unfortunately, it's a tangled, it's a quantum entanglement because there's so much that is, it's like we've woven a cobweb around ourselves all our lives, which is not even our own. And it's a cocoon of ignorance. And we can't even begin to see what we really are until we get out of the cocoon, but we can't get out of the cocoon without first destroying it.
That's it. Well, and so,
unraveling it, so to speak.
Well, that's just it. And to that point, someone could listen to this conversation and say, hey, you know what? Those guys are right. I'm going to unravel this cocoon. This whole thing just doesn't make sense, and I'm just going to, tear it apart. And then what? Right? And
right.
So that's where people tend to fall is, okay, I understand what you're saying, that kind of makes sense to me, but I don't really know what to do with it. And so that's where the ancient traditions come in, and that's where some of these tried and true practices come in. I've found over the years that what has worked for me is all I can really vouch for, right? But what has worked for me is that you have this understanding and you start kind of opening up your consciousness to understanding what the world's about and what life's about and how maybe you're getting in your own way. But that cocoon, that kind of crystallized matrix of gunk that holds us entrapped, that's where Qigong and some of the energy work and the yogic practices really come in. Because as we use our prana and our air and our breath work with our consciousness to move energy through our field, what that does is it automatically starts unsettling and breaking up the crystalline matrix of this kind of reinforced thought field energy that keeps us constrained and entrapped in these lives that we think we need to lead because of all these, decisions we've made that we've obviously thought through so clearly, right?
Right.
And so the transformational practices become the impetus or the fire underneath to start loosening that up. But it doesn't mean you don't have to read books. It doesn't mean you don't have to analyze yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have to do all these other things. So I know people that'll do Qigong till the cows come home, and they'll just have so much energy that they'll be trying to move, but they won't sit on their cushion and get into the introspective work to wake up to who they are. Or someone who meditates all the time, who is so stagnant that they could stand to do some energy work or some exercise or something. So, you know, it's, you know, we live in this postmodern deconstructionist type of, you know, time where I readily take from whatever traditions that have something valuable to offer. If I have a particular issue in my life that I'm feeling stuck with, I will use whatever tool that's available to me to help unravel that so that I can move through it. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I'm a Taoist and that's Christian,
right,
we don't do that.
Right.
That's just Kali Yuga nonsense.
Right, exactly. Well, that's one of the things I like about your book and about your writings and about what you're doing and teaching is that you draw, well, you're multidimensional. You're not limited to any one particular thing, although you are a master of many. And you pull from so many different diverse sources. And, you know, your book mentions Gnosis. And, of course, that goes back to the Gnostics and the Archons. And you quote from some other people that I have a great admiration for. So, you know, you are so way ahead there. It's just like it's refreshing to see, you know, that you're just right on top of it.
Well, thank you. That's
at least one person on this planet is, you know. I mean, maybe the rest of us are all falling down on our faces.
No.
You know, we're trying.
First of all, I'm just a guy, and I'm a guy who's read some books and you know, basically taken the initiative to ask some questions. But I owe everything to the great masters that I studied with and the great authors who I've read and the great, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing phenomenal work.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's true. That's
there are,
right.
Yeah, there are
that's
some really good people just that have been working this, you know, and I'm a relatively young guy. I'm still in my 30s. So, you know, I know personally people that I've trained with who've been 40, 50, 60 years holding this fire up and holding it up for people to awaken. And they did it through times where people were just sitting there thinking, herbs, acupuncture, what?
Right.
What are you, crazy?
Yeah,
you know, they were holding the gauntlet and throwing it down in the better living through chemistry era.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, it's a tremendous honor and a privilege to have studied with them because we owe a debt of gratitude to this whole generation of people through the 60s and 70s that really held it down for guys my age and hopefully generations to come to have access to this information and to really, you know, wake up and allow it to kind of move through them. And that's really what these systems are about, is they have to keep moving on because it's the light that's shared. Right.
Yeah.
This isn't my teaching. I'm just
right.
You know, I'm just a guy who read it. Right. And so, you know, it's just my duty to pass it on and really help people with what has helped me in my life. And that's all I can really speak for is really what my experience of this information has been, because everything else is just abstract and you get into the realm of fantasy and belief. And, you know, there's a time and a place for belief, but in my experience, once you've experienced something, you own it. And
yeah.
So if the Buddha says, do this, and you will be liberated from your suffering, then I'm going to sit there and do it and see if this guy knows what he's talking about, right? and so that's really, you know... Yeah, and that's really where these alchemical traditions come in, is your life and your body and your consciousness are the workshop.
Yeah.
So you have to test them and challenge them against reality and find what actually works and what is actually transformative in your life. And if it isn't, don't kid yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep working at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I consider myself to be the vials and beakers and chemistry sets on the table, and I always am the first one to try something on myself first and see what it does before I even suggest anybody else think about it. And
that's
and
it.
That really has served me the best. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, excuse me, has to do with the movement of the serpent fire, the Kundalini energy. Have you experienced the Kundalini rising? Are you able to draw it up?
Sure.
What was the first time that you were able to do that? Because many people will meditate for decades trying to do that with the intent of doing it. Some people have now are having Kundalini experiences spontaneously and have had no spiritual training.
And it's getting out of hand in some ways for some people. And you know, the Kundalini, I'm very careful with Kundalini energy, and you know, I'm oftentimes kind of confronting people in my world who I will see who are, you know, just kind of really jumping into the Kundalini thing prematurely, because I can see that they have so many energies that are going to get unsettled, and so many things are going to come up for them that the Kundalini is just going to rock their world.
Yeah.
And so I got into Kundalini a bit later in my training, because I, you know, the from the Chinese perspective, you always work the lower centers, bring balance, root yourself, get grounded, and you know, my primary orientation is Kung Fu, so it's incredibly grounding. So I had the privilege, I would say, to really come in from ground up versus from top down, which is where a lot of people go to. I mean, everyone wants to run to heaven, right? Everyone wants to have the blissed out experiences and all these types of things, and it can be very damaging. Now, does that make Kundalini bad? Absolutely not. Kundalini is a powerful transformative art that, when practiced correctly, can really awaken your energy body, enliven your chi flow and your prana, and really bring all sorts of wonderful things into your life. My perspective is that a lot of the people who get into Kundalini have very, how shall I say, distorted notions of who they are, and have very unhealthy relationships with their own sexuality and the concept of sexuality. And so a lot of Kundalini, in my opinion, is practiced incorrectly because people don't understand Tantra well enough and understand the fundamental philosophies of how Tantra is supposed to work, and how it's this sacred act of recreating creation and following the divine feminine energy, and allowing the serpents to rise in a natural, healthy way. And so what happens is people will start doing this stuff, they'll hit something that they don't like, and they'll start to develop all sorts of complexes and abstractions around this energy that they still are not willing to face. And so it starts to create lots of very interesting kind of personality dynamics and just, you know, craziness. And it's unhealthy, right? And so, you know, there's healthy ways to do these things, and there's the way a lot of people are doing these things. And you know, I have this conversation with yoga teachers all the time, because a lot of what happens in the yoga community is the classes that fill up are the ones that cater to the people who come in and want the experiences, right? So you got these people playing lots of trance music, and people kind of grooving through their flow, and just, you know, they've distorted the art, and you know, it might be beneficial for some people in that way, but once you step out of the sacred nature of why you're doing something, of these things, and it becomes just another gym class, it really starts to impact the ability of the art to help you wake up to who you are, because it becomes very reductionist in a way, and it's just another thing that you do.
Well, everything is sacred, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and so if you know, it's my favorite Einstein quote. You know, there's only really two ways to see this universe: that, you know, nothing is a miracle, or that everything is a miracle.
Right.
And it's so long as you come from the perspective that everything is a miracle and everything is sacred, then everything that you do in your life becomes your yoga. It goes back to the conversation that we had earlier about meditation. You know, then meditation and yoga and all these things become part of your operating system, where life becomes a process of self-discovery and awakening and enlightenment and revelation, right? But if you start to quarantine those moments to, you know, the hour and a half yoga class and the 20 minutes on your cushion, or, you know, hey, I'm going to go hear the Dalai Lama speak and I'm going to wear all my prayer beads, we're kidding ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
In that capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if I was in L.A. closer to where you're at, I would be taking your classes in a heartbeat.
I would be
studying under you so fast it'd make your head spin.
Oh, amen. Well, you know, I appreciate that. You know,
yeah.
And what's happened with me with filmmaking and all these types of things is I've been traveling a considerable amount. I've been in Africa and Europe and all sorts of places, just making movies and making these stories. So, what I did, what I decided to do last year with Sacred Mysteries was, you know, I can't be there every Thursday anymore, and I don't
right.
need to be, because, you know, what happens is it becomes a trap. It's like, oh, Pedram's the
right.
teacher, Pedram's the teacher. And
right,
so,
right.
And so my message from the get-go has been, I am not the teacher. Your teacher is inside of you. Learn these exercises.
Yes.
And stop looking outside of yourself.
Yeah.
So what I did was I worked with Sacred Mysteries, and they were really good about kind of letting me say what needed to be said and not watering anything down, which is what a lot of these companies want to do, is just, you know, well, let's do yoga for weight loss. Let's do Qigong for, you know, Qigong with coffee. And, you know, all this kind of crap that people want
right.
to do.
Right.
To cater to the people who are asleep and don't really want to, you know, wake up, but, you know, want to dress themselves in yoga. And so we created this 3-DVD set that teaches a lot of these esoteric practices and just goes for it.
Absolutely.
And so I've been very happy with that, because, you know, I say to people, great, what DVD are you on? What exercise are you on? Where are you stuck? Okay, go practice this and come back. And then, you know, I'll pop into different towns and do workshops and seminars here and again, and really kind of help people along. But it's been this kind of growing movement within my own deal to not stand in front of people as a teacher, because that's a trap, and that's something that people really want to fall into in the West. So I'm like, here,
yeah.
watch these DVDs, practice this thing, and then let's talk about your experience of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, so far, so good. I've had students all over the world who are just practicing Qigong and doing their work, and we communicate via email, and just I just kind of, you know, pat them on the back or say, maybe you want to try this way, and you know, once a year or two, I'll see them in a workshop in their town, and that's it. Right, and it's been very liberating in that way, because
I would like to reiterate what you said about Sacred Mysteries, because Jay Widener, who does the Sacred Mysteries series with Sharon Rose, is one of my very favorite people on the planet, and he's been on the show a few times, and his series is absolutely magnificent. He's way out beyond the cutting edge on the esoteric and on alchemy and a variety of subjects. So I just wanted to put a little plug in there for Jay, because he's really working hard at it, and he's coming out with some of the most, let's just say, information that hasn't been allowed or hasn't come out heretofore.
Yes, they are torchbearers, and they are brave, and they are wonderful people. And
yes.
I'm happy and proud to know them, because
absolutely.
You know, the tendency in the market is always to cater towards stupid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, the audience won't get that. Well, the audience doesn't want that. Well, you know what? This is the teaching. So I'm going to represent it for what it is, and the people who see it for what it is will gravitate towards
that's
it. And they've
right.
really they've really held that, and that's commendable, and I take my hat off to them.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the Iron Age, and there's a couple of things, alchemy and the Kali Yuga. We're in the is it the Vedas that say that we're in the Kali Yuga, and that this is the densest period before the Golden Age? And if so, obviously it's the dumbest, but no, seriously, it is the densest, least spiritual. And we're coming up on the odometer, aren't we, on the turning over of that age, the 26,000-year cycle?
Absolutely. I mean, we're
a
bit contentious about what the actual turning of the date is. Some people are hardline 2012ers, and
yeah.
you know, and there's a lot of different interpretations of the Vedas, and you know, it basically falls between the era that we're in right now and you know, somewhere around 2100 to 2300.
Okay.
And so this is this kind of broad interpretation of when that transition actually happens, and I haven't really seen compelling evidence in one way or another to say, well, that's the date that I'm going with, because I think that, you know what, it's a transition, yeah. And it is this time of awakening, and it's a time of great shift. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, we're seeing all kinds of things happening that are just marvelous, and people are waking up. At the same time, we're seeing, you know, all kinds of, you know, dark news and crazy stuff going on in the world. And so it's, you know, it's an ancient Chinese curse, right? May you live in interesting times.
Absolutely. What's your personal feeling or view on the nature of spirit and the divine spark within, and how it comes and goes from the physical world?
You know, it's something that has been the question of all questions, right? Is who are we? Where do we come from? How does this come about? Yeah, but you know, my take on it is one of, we are spirit. We are part of this eternal flame, and we are just kind of a fragmented part in our own consciousness of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I really do subscribe to the school of thought that, you know, we've come here to Earth for lessons, and that mm-hmm. this is a school, mm-hmm. and that this school is a place where we've intentionally wiped our memory. Mm-hmm. And the signature of light, or the quality of light that was emanating in the exact moment that we decided to incarnate, became a crystallized kind of imprint of how the energies of our life and our tendencies and our personalities and our elemental qualities and all these things would kind of manifest mm-hmm. through our kind of unraveling of this thing called life, because we came in specifically to learn lessons and learn about the entirety and enormity of who we are, mm. right? And so yeah. if you start looking at life as a school, then things start to change, and you start to say, well, you know, boo-hoo, this crap keeps happening to me becomes aha. Why is this crap keep happening to me,
right.
and what is the lesson, and what do I need to learn from it so that I can transform and move
yes.
on? And then
yes.
spirit affirms that, right?
Yes,
and so this is you know, again, this is where the rubber hits the road in this alchemical practice is
yep.
once you start seeing the world that way, you know, at first this was kind of a theory to me. I was like, okay, that sounds great. You know, what document did you get that from, right? And so, but once I started testing that against reality and realizing that once I did kind of see the lessons for what they were, that you could feel it inside, and I know you can relate to this. It's like, wow, I just unlocked something, and
yeah,
I
yeah.
don't feel this way anymore.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
shifted.
Absolutely.
And so you start to then develop a relationship with your spirit,
yeah.
and then the spirit,
yeah.
And you know, through the super consciousness, is constantly communicating with you,
yep.
and
yep.
you've created this channel where you're actually able to listen,
yeah,
and then
right.
life becomes really, really fun.
Yes, the magical mystery tour continues.
Amen. Exactly.
Once you
get in on that, then you're playing the game of all games, right? The only
That's
game
right.
in town, which is, you know, this wonderful transformational magical thing called life.
Yeah.
And you know, you ask how many people on the street think, you know, life is magical and how wonderful it is, and they just grunt and, you know, curse
yeah.
at you and keep walking. And so, you know, we get a lot of work to do.
That's right. But this, I can tell you, this is a lot more fun of a game than the one of materialism. So anyway, we are in a mystery school, no doubt about it. Pedram. Yeah, before we have to go, this went so fast, I could have talked to you for another hour. We were just getting rolling.
Oh, I so enjoy our time on air. It's really fun.
Me too. But I want to make sure you get your websites out in the name of your book and anything else that you would like to share for the listeners.
Great. I appreciate that. The website is taoistpath.com, taoistpath.com. and that can kind of lead you to everything. And you know, this with the book is called Rise and Shine: Awaken Your Energy Body with Taoist Alchemy and Qigong. You can search for it in Facebook. It has a Facebook page and all these things. I'm of the generation that grew up with computers.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not afraid of them. And so yeah, I'm you know, I've got it on Facebook and I've got it in places where people can find it. And please, you know, share it with people you think need to wake up to this information.
Yeah.
Because you
yeah.
know, I took a lot of time and energy to put this thing together because, frankly, I'm you know, radio shows aside, I'm tired of saying it, saying the same stuff to everyone every time. Is
right.
You know, it's the same story. And so, you know, once you wake up to it and you just get in and you start doing it, life becomes magical and life starts changing. So, DaoistPath.com, Rise and Shine, the book. It's on Facebook. You'll see a cover of a guy barbed wire around his feet and waking up and growing a light body. And I'm very happy with the Process Media and the publishers, who also were very open and good about just letting me, you know, keep the information intact, and they did a wonderful job with it. So Process Media is also right up there in the same caliber with you know, Sacred Mysteries, and just holding it for, you know, the good work to be disseminated.
Wonderful, Pedram. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's been a delight having you. I love talking to you, and I love your being. And keep on sharing out there. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I guess that's a wrap.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Good night, Pedram, and good night, everybody.
Night.